So I love looking at memes, and I was looking at some memes this week, and there's a ton of stuff out there of people playing practical jokes on one another. There's one that really stuck out to me, and if there's anything that embodies 2020, it was this one for me. There was a kid, and he was headbutting a soccer ball against a wall, and his brother or friend walks up, and he shows him what he was doing, and then offers to hold the ball for him as he starts. And just as the other guy goes to headbutt the ball, he drops the ball, and the guy slams his head right against the wall, and then walks away. Is that not how 2020 has felt for a lot of us? Like we're banging our heads against the wall, or somebody is provoking us to bang our heads against the wall. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I've entitled this one, PPE for Your Soul. Yeah, let's look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read the first 9 verses as we get started here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient of their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind that worm their way into the homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Let's just break this down for a second. There's 17 different characteristics that are listed here, and we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on all of them, but I do want to sift through them. But it starts off by saying there will be terrible times in the last days. And this is at this point when Paul is talking to Timothy, they all felt like that was the last days. The further we get in the future, we get more and more into the last days. There's all kinds of debates on what that actually means. For the sake of reference, I think that it's pretty clear that most of these characteristics we see in the world today, and Paul is warning Timothy of them. So let's just kind of look at them for a second. He starts off with lovers of themselves, and I want to preface this because he is not saying that you shouldn't love yourself. All right, that's not the concept, but as with everything, it seems like in the world today, we've lost the concept of moderation. We go to extremes and we force others into the extremes. And what Paul is talking to Timothy here about is taking the love that you have for yourself and losing track of everything else that God has said so that everything becomes focused on yourself, and you'll see that theme carried through the rest of this. Boastful, proud, abusive. Then this one, disobedient of their parents. And this is a hard one, right, for some of us, because what happens if your parents aren't healthy? Then what do? And I believe there's a way to honor without dishonor. I want to share a story in a minute. Then he goes on with a bunch of uns, ungrateful, unholy, really here, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without this concept of self-control. And I want to pause here on slanderous because this one has taken shape maybe more than a lot of these in the world in which we find ourselves in. That is to say things with your words that causes harm to somebody else. And we've gotten in this rhythm in the world today where we'll take a soundbite of something that somebody has said and only share that soundbite and take it completely out of context to make that person look terrible. And politicians are great at this. It's how they win elections. Paul is saying, this is not us. This is not how somebody who follows Christ acts. Your goal is not to tear somebody down or focus on an aspect of them so that you can cause them harm and others to cause them harm. Literally, don't do it. Then the brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited. There's another focus on self. And he goes on, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Honing in on everything to do with yourself, and you've lost track of what God has called you to, which is to love God and love others. It's gone all internal. Having the form of godliness but denying his power. And I want to pause there for a second in that you can present yourself as good and try to be as good as possible. Eventually, at some point, you are going to break apart from God. That is my core belief. That is what I believe the scripture tells us. He created us as in the image of him, but sin entered the world, made us fallen. He restores us back to him. The only way we get back there to be able to be righteous is because of Christ. So we can look good or present ourselves as good, but until the soul is taken care of, we don't really become good. And so we can't do it apart from the power of God, which, as we read through Scripture, comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us a couple examples here. These kind of people worm their way into homes to try to distort women and get them on their side. They're loaded down with sin. They're always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. And we've also come to this place in this world of what really is truth, because my truth may be different than your truth. And if your truth is different than my truth, then we end up fighting. And Paul is saying there is one core truth, and that is Christ. And when you get to that point, then our responses come out of that with truth, which is love, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I really believe this. It may be time for you to social distance some people from your heart and soul. It may be time for that. And I want to give you an example and come back to that, the parent issue. I had a lady come to me years ago and say, every time I bring my kids over to see their grandmother, my heart hurts. And I said, all right, well, you flesh that out for me. Well, my mom is an unhealthy person. All right, flesh that out for me. She's controlling. She's manipulative. She puts me down in front of my kids. She tries to get my kids to make fun of me. Oftentimes when I show up, she's drunk, but the Bible says to obey your parents. And I said, yes, but it has to go inside with the rest of the scripture. And so if your mother is not acting in a way that is healthy for your kids, then your mom doesn't get to interact with your kids. And she was like, what? Let me get this straight. You, my pastor, am telling me that I'm allowed to keep my kids from their grandmother. Yes, if she's unhealthy. If she's unhealthy, then she needs to get to a place of health before she sees her grandkids again, because the Lord has entrusted those kids to you. And if you continue to place them in a place that's unhealthy, then they will become unhealthy. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good character. I'll put it in some of you like campfires. In order to start a campfire, you need dry wood. And that dry wood will catch. If you try to start a fire with fresh or green wood, it's going to take forever. But if you start that fire with dry wood and then throw fresh wood on it, the fire is going to eat it up. And so when we try to put ourselves in a situation that is unhealthy and stay there in community with it, we will then become unhealthy. And that's what Paul is saying here. Literally, the concept here is to turn away or not allow them in your community until they get to a place of health. And we're maybe afraid to do this. Some of us are excited about this. Unfriend, unfriend, a friend, a friend, a friend. It has to coincide with everything else, right? It doesn't mean that we're not going to love these people. They can change through the work of the Holy Spirit. But as for now, they are unhealthy. I can't continue to put myself in that position because then I will become unhealthy. And so Paul is warning Timothy, listen, you need to turn aside from these people because they are not being healthy for you. And eventually you're going to become unhealthy. Instead, starting in verse 10 here, it says, you, however, know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So let's just look at a couple of these things for a second. Paul says there is a different way to live, and that is to follow Christ, and he gives us these examples. His teachings, his way of life, his purpose, faith, patience, and love, all these things come from Scripture and from the work of the Holy Spirit, which lead to endurance, and the endurance helps you to battle persecution and suffering. Then he gives us, you know what happened, and let me just, you may have not read through the book of Acts, so you don't know what happened to Paul in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. He was ran out of town in Iconium, or in Antioch. He was, they tried to stone him in Iconium, and they succeeded in stoning him in Lystra. And miraculously, the Lord sustained him, and he didn't die. They literally stoned him. You want to figure out what that is, look it up, but I warn you, it is not it's not pleasant. And they threw him out of the city, and the Lord sustained him, and he went about his way. It later says in Acts that he went back to each one of these places to then share the love of Christ. And you could say, well, wait a second, didn't you just tell Timothy to stay away from these kind of people? He's not going into community with unhealthy people. He is sharing the love of Christ with unhealthy people. He's staying in community with those who are helpful to his community. Timothy, everything that you've learned from me will make you wise for salvation. We've gotten to this place where we lack this concept of wisdom. We're all about learning or knowledge or gaining knowledge, but we don't seem to be acting in favor of wisdom or things that are wise, because we'll take somebody's word for it and not do the investigation for ourselves and come to a concrete, healthy conclusion. We oftentimes will believe the unhealthy message that is shared with us instead of sitting down and looking at it correctly. All of Scripture, everything that you have learned, all the Old Testament and the sayings and the prophets and the Proverbs and all the things you have heard from the apostles is God-breathed. It's not from man, it's from God. It was given to man through the work of the Holy Spirit so that then it can help you by teaching you core doctrine, which is there is only one God and you are not him. And to love him and to love others, if we break it all down into a nice little nugget. Everything of the teachings of Scripture come out of that place. And Scripture is useful for rebuking and correcting. And I want to pause here for a second, because oftentimes we use rebuking and correcting in an unhealthy manner. We use the words that Christ has given us to tear somebody down, and that is opposite of how Scripture should be used. When Jesus speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he brings conviction with love and compassion and the work of the Holy Spirit. If we're using this to tear somebody down, then we're missing it, and we don't know core doctrine. We're using Scripture to tear somebody down or highlight how flawed they are. We're missing the core of what Christ is saying. It should bring us to a place of grievance in our soul, seeing our fellow man hurt or in harm. We shouldn't use it to add to the harm. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. It's always backed up with conviction and love. So even these people listed who are you're to stay away from and not engage in your community, it's still our biblical responsibility to pray and to love on them. And that's a hard balance that happens through the work of Scripture. It trains you in righteousness, understanding that when Christ died on the cross, you believe in him, he puts a giant R on your heart and soul. He declares you as righteous. He sees himself in you. That's how he sees you. It will take us probably one day longer than a lifetime to realize that. And it happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's declared you righteous. So that you will be thoroughly equipped, or this concept of complete in Christ. And all of this leads to perseverance. And so I really believe this with all my heart, mind, and soul. The Word of God is PPE for your soul. I want to land with talking about this year and navigating through it. When the pandemic first hit, I got in this, I'm just going to go, 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 go. I'm just going to go, 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 go. And about June, I realized that even though I tell people and teach about the soul and soul health, that my soul was becoming unhealthy. All the stuff of the world, but then also entertaining, letting my mind entertain the things that were listed here beforehand from Paul to say, hey, listen, don't allow these things to control you. And so I took the whole month of July off. I have never in 20 plus years of ministry taken more than 2 weeks off at a time. And I took the whole month off. And I also took the month off of Facebook. I'm not saying it's evil. I'm just saying we have to be careful what we allow into the control room of our soul. We've gotten to the point in this world where, I've said this before, everybody's got an opinion, but nobody's allowed to have one. We allow the chaos of this world to take me to a place of unhealth, and I needed to put myself in a timeout. I believe with all my heart, mind, and soul, what the Bible teaches is the only way any of us will make it through 2020 unscathed. We'll come out battle-worn from all the craziness that happens. But the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will give you the perseverance that you need. So I want to land with these, a question for you and then a statement. Who in your current sphere is not healthy for your soul? Maybe you need to take some time in this one. Maybe you need to sit for a little bit. Maybe you need to schedule yourself a coffee date sometime this week and just kind of sit down and do an inventory. Who is unhealthy for your soul right now? I'm not saying you no longer have to love them. I'm saying who needs to be placed in a timeout so that your soul can get to a place of health. It's maybe a hard one. And then to get to that place of health, I really believe that if we stay rooted in the Bible and the work of the Holy Spirit, you'll persevere. I believe that with all my heart, mind, and soul. Let me pray for us. Lord, I feel the tension. The way we have been treated by others, the way we've treated others. Lord, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would speak, would reassure your love, your care, your compassion for those who are listening. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your conviction to bring us to a place of health, that you do it with love. Holy Spirit, if we've embodied that list of 17 things, may you pluck them out one by one so that we can look more like you. Holy Spirit, if we have people in our spheres who are treating us the way that list describes, give us the courage, the empowerment to take a time out, to encircle ourselves with people who are going to speak how your Spirit speaks, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Holy Spirit, I ask that the words that you have breathed into man would take root in our souls, that we would be reminded of your great love for us by dying on a cross for us, for restoring us, for sealing us with the Holy Spirit, for empowering us to love. To persevere when there seems like there is no way forward. We thank you that the words of Paul to Timothy almost 2,000 years ago still ring true today. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.